just at the point of trying to find a solution to our life's issues, or whatever it is we're facing immediately today, whether it's a big thing or a small thing, the answer is in the Spirit. And so if we try and muster up something out of our flesh, it's just the wrong approach. That's when you get the shit at all, because you think you should be doing this, which you can't do it. Just give up. You can't do it, so walk in the Spirit. Because walking in the Spirit is the answer. It's the New Testament answer, and the equivalent of Moses standing there saying, choose life to the Israelites. So the way to Jesus is through repentance of sin and baptism of the Holy Spirit. Simple as that. That's the only way God designed it, that we're able to die and live. Because no one in the Old Testament was able to sustain it for long. Even if it did for a little bit, even if it did for the revival. You know, they get a revival. I was looking at Josiah the other day, and he blew it. But he was a wonderful king, right from boyhood. He got rid of the high places, he did everything right all his life, and then he blew it right at the end. No one was able to sustain it. So God, of course, had a plan from the beginning, but the plan was, when the time was fully right, he sent his son in order to bring about a new approach, a different way of sorting the problem. What was the problem? Our sin, our flesh, our desire to worship other gods. So his new way was, don't try anymore, guys, because you can't do it. Even the best of you can't do it, sustain it right the way through. And you've only got to stick once and you've lost. You know, so the new way was what he describes in Romans 8 and elsewhere. It's Romans 7. The new way of the Spirit. And the new way of the Spirit is not our way. It's not the way that we naturally do anything. We don't naturally fall into the way of the Spirit. The way of the Spirit has to be deliberately walked in. Always. The kingdom is coming forceful when they hold of it. It takes a forceful, a determined, positive decision to walk in the Spirit. It doesn't happen automatically. I mean, we get enthusiastic automatically, we can get passionate for God, and it can just come upon us because he can pour the Spirit. But then that will wane, and there needs to be a sustaining of what he's put in us. And that's the big problem. The church has never sustained what God has poured out and put into man. It ebbs and flows, and of course what he's teaching us is to live in it. Because it's independent of our feeling. Our walking in the Spirit is independent of our feeling. Our walking in the Spirit is something that is the solution he's given us. Okay, so every challenge we get is not, how can I work this out? What can I do? It's, right, get into step with the Spirit. Because in this you're an overcomer. In him you're an overcomer. He's already overcome. And that's the joy of the Christian life, that Jesus has already overcome. He's already beaten the world, flesh, and the devil. He's already made a way for us to walk in that victory. But the only victory is in the Spirit. There is no other victory. I mean, the victory isn't located anywhere else other than in the Spirit. And yet we keep going back to our flesh to try and sort it out. You know, that's why Paul says, with such joy I have been crucified with Christ. Glasses.
Thank you.
I have been crucified with Christ. It's such a relief. It's such a relief to thought, I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live. Praise God, I've got to try and work it out in my own flesh anymore. Christ is now. That's what God did on the cross. He made it possible for Christ to live in us. Christ Hallelujah. Josiah can have it, but we can't. Christ is telling me. And so Paul, the great believer, is explaining Romans 8. And built up to explaining what this life in the Spirit is. This is how you do it, God. Walk in the Spirit, it's life! And walk in the flesh. And you're just back in the same position as Josiah. If you walk in the flesh, you can have your moments. You can have your moments. You can even bring revival, you know, temporarily. But you're not going to sustain it. Not going to be sustained. You can only bring revival because God chooses by grace to use you in that way anyway, not because you have a confession. You must still revive, you can't. But God will take anything, once he take any bit of faith, and he applies grace to it and use it. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect before he uses it. Praise God. Look at anybody, he's taken every bit of genuine faith there is and he's using it. He's taken every good heart, everything, every time we do, he by accident get it right. He's using it. Every bit of faith we have, he's using. He won't waste a thing. But there's still much more. Much more available. And the way into it is to let go and talk in the Spirit. Which is why, you know, our teaching syllabus is dominated around that. Part three of these typicals, part four, it's all about life in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, obeying the Spirit, listening to the Spirit. I mean, this is the way of the Spirit. This is what the way of the Spirit is. That's why any of you who aspire to teach the way of the Spirit ministry need to be grappling with this material. Don't just go and learn about the kings or whatever. Get hold of this material. Get out of it, teach about the kings, sure. But get hold of this material. This is the essence and core of the way of the Spirit. New Testament and John the Cup. You know, John, all Johnson is lined up with what the New Testament says about the new word. What Paul said. Okay. So this is our core material. And as I was saying to the leaders the other day, some of the leaders, Robert, Janet, Julia, Ingrid. And this is our challenge, and this is probably come from the team conference. I don't want to talk about this story, but our challenge by the Spirit is not just to teach the way of the Spirit material. That happens really strongly around the country, in certain places in the country. They've got to have to find out, Janet, Ingrid. But our job, the call on our life, is to live what we teach. My approach from day one has been to live what John left us, not try and just emulate some sort of material or protect some sort of material, but to live out of it, live the prophetic life, walk in the Spirit, follow Jesus by the Spirit. Understand that the only life that can come in any ministry or anything or any mission has to come out of the Spirit. We can try and bring lots of information and stuff, but only that that comes from the Spirit will revive, will transform people there and then before your eyes. And it does. Yeah. And it does. And that's my testimony of 20 years leading by the Spirit. It transforms individuals. Now it's up to them what heart they come to meeting with, whether they're able to receive it. But so not everyone will, but many, many, many people I've seen open out and receive that seed of life and to get hold of this amazing New Testament gospel, which has nothing to do with the way we can look at it, but everything to do with just choosing life. Choose life! It's a new way. It's not God's way. It's not turned out man's way. My ways are not your ways, you see. And so we have this thing going on all the time. It's a warring. At some level, each of us experiences it, day by day, a warring of our flesh against the Spirit. Paul says that. Flesh wars against the Spirit. And at some level, we all live this. So, Paul, And whether it's at an intellectual level, whether it's at an emotional level, whether it's at a worldview level, whether it's, you know, whatever level it's at, we wrestle. Where the flesh sort of gets on top, then it quashes the life of the spirit. You see, this is a war going on, not just in you, but in the world. It is the same principle in both, in us individually and in the world, and in the church. The flesh will quash the spirit if it's allowed to dominate. That which comes from self-effort, that which comes from our own good ideas, that which comes from our opinions, that which comes from our independent self-will, untrained by the Spirit of God, will only lead to death in the end. It might bring some temporary relief for somebody, it might be a sticking plaster, but it isn't going to bring the thing that God sent Jesus to bring, which is life. The only way to life is as the Holy Spirit leads us into His truth. And then we act on it. We live in it. We take it by force. We take hold of that truth He's now shown us, and we apply it to our life and choose to live in the good of it. That's what a life of faith is. It's not sitting against inspired occasionally and suffering meetings the rest of the time. It's getting hold of what God is saying and living in it. That's what Moses is preaching on Tuesday night, isn't it? In Deuteronomy. Remember?
Yeah.
Love the Lord your God, listen to what He says, and take hold of it. Hold fast to it. It's amazing how Moses summed up the Christian life. Yeah. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul. And let's remember, our first call, our first duty, if you want to use the word duty, is to love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul. As before, we love our husband and wife, family, pastor, self. We love the Lord our God with all our mind, soul, body, mind, soul. I've said it so many times, I've forgotten it. You know what I mean? But then we love each other. Out of that.
Yes.
So love the Lord your God, listen to what He says, and hold fast to Him, what He says. That way you walk the way of the Spirit. And you bring life. And wherever you go, people who don't get that, which is most people, will struggle and fight against it. Some of them fight against it. Would be that. Because the world cannot understand it. The flesh cannot understand it. The church world cannot understand it. Unless the church world is walking in sync with the Spirit. Which means they need to die first to their self-effort and religion.
Mm-hmm.
So, I was wanting to go back to Romans, but you showed me two passages in Luke. Luke 17:5. The apostles said to the Lord, the disciples, the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. And of course, you know, with a worldly mindset, that's what we say, isn't it? Well, Lord, give me more faith, and I'll just use it for your purposes. Lord, give me more faith. You know how weak and pathetic I am. Give me more faith, Lord. That is not a prayer we should ever, ever pray. It's a soulish prayer. It's a prayer that comes from our flesh, from a wrong understanding, from a worldly perspective, which says, God, if you just gave me more, I'd be able to do what you asked me to do. As if in some way, it lays hands on us and gives us all the extra, and suddenly we walk in a different level. What's Jesus' reply? He said, if you have faith, as small as a mustard seed. Now listen, he's already said our faith, give every person a measure of faith. Or someone talks about giving every person a measure of faith. So we've all got faith, we've all got the gift of faith.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe not as it, well, it's a gift of faith, it's over and above it, maybe. But we've all got faith.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, even if the faith you've got, even if you don't think yours is very much, even if the faith you've got is the size of a mustard seed, which is the smallest seed virtually, not to the supply of one of the smallest seeds. Yeah. To them, it would be the smallest seed, sure.
Yeah.
If you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted, planted in the sea, and it will obey. He's making a point. He's not suggesting we'll go around uprooting trees and throwing them into the sea. He's making a point. He's saying, disciples, you've asked the wrong question again. It's not about how much faith you've got. It's about what you do with the faith that I have given to you. Because if you're faithful to small things, if you're faithful to that mustard seed size of faith, use it. It will increase. You'll end up with more faith. So understanding faith is central to our learning to walk in the Spirit. I mean, all the stuff in Romans gets us entrance to it in our understanding and gives us inspiration and all the rest of it. Now we've got to sustain it for the rest of our life. We've all had the experience that we go to a meeting, get some revelation, and walk out floating on air and thinking that's enough practice. I get the same thing when I leave a golf lesson. And over and over again, I think, I've cracked it now, that's it. I can't wait to go now, I've cracked it. That's what keeps people going back to playing golf. And spending all this money on golf balls, which they keep losing. You think, yeah, I've got it. And that's great, it's great when we feel that way, because that's the start of it. That's always the start of a new phase of our Christian life, or before we get there. It's great to feel that, yeah, I've got it, that's the hope, that's the light, that's the Holy Spirit working in us. Yes, Lord, I've got it, I'm going in that direction. Praise God. But now we're going to sustain it. Not just today, but tomorrow, and then next Thursday, and then next Saturday when this happens, and the following Friday when that happens, and to sustain it. How do we do that? By faith. We get hold of what we've got, the revelation we've got, and we apply it in our life by faith, not by worldly, fleshly ways, by faith. Which is choosing to believe it. I believed it last Wednesday morning, and I'm believing it now the following Thursday, and the following February afterwards. I'm choosing to live in the middle of it, because the kingdom of God comes by force, and force for men they hold it. Otherwise, it's a question of, oh, fizz, slop. Fizz, slop. Slop, 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 slop. Fizz, fizz, fizz. Oh, remember it. Fizz, slop. And that's our Christian life. And that's not what God set Jesus for. I mean, he in a sense is moving towards it, but that's not the victory that he talks about in the New Testament. He says he always leads us in triumphal procession. So in other words, when we get it right, we're walking the Spirit, we're following him. Whatever happens in the life around us, to other people, whatever circumstances, whatever happens, we will walk in the Spirit. We will say it again. On the chain. Because we've learned to apply our faith. We've learned to get hold of it and apply it to our life. That doesn't mean we all do that straight away. We're tested in all sorts of ways. But God tests in all of us to bring us to that place. Because he doesn't want us to go up, down, up, down, up. He wants us to live that sustained life where like Samuel, for a generation, he was out preaching. We think of Samuel the prophet bringing a revival, but it was 25 years of going around Israel, bringing the word to all Israel before revival came. 25 years. You're not called to have a fizz, you're called to have a sustained life of faith, walking in the Spirit. You and me. That's what we're called to. A sustained, fruitful life, walking in the Spirit. Which is not the world's ways, and it's not the flesh way. But right the way through that walk, your flesh is going to war with you. And you've got to decide how you're going to deal with your flesh. Let's get past the stage where we're trying to beat up our flesh and trying to kill it off, because you won't do it. In fact, the more attention you give to your flesh, the more power it will have over you. The more you think about the way you fail and what's in your flesh and the temptations, you, me, the more you focus on that, the more you will risk tumbling into, getting off the highway of holiness, into that secondary sort of existence where you're wallowing in your flesh and fail again. Oh, I failed again. That's not God's intention for us. And it's entirely possible for every one of us, if God wouldn't have done it this way otherwise, it's entirely possible for every single one of us to get into step with the Spirit and to be able to stay there, to sustain it. To live our life on the chair, if you like. Far above all these other stuff. So the way to deal with the flesh is not to look at it. The way to deal with the flesh is to walk in step with the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So simply get our eyes onto the Lord and walk following Him. And then every time He feeds us with some fresh revelation or fresh understanding of the Christian life, we build it into our life by faith. So let's take this simple thing. Look at Him and not at our flesh. Right, thank you, I'm going to build that in. For the next 40 days, I'm going to make sure every time Holy Spirit, you show me I'm wallowing self. I'm going to take my eyes and put them on the Lord. I'm going to memorize a particular verse, and that verse is going to be the one I go to in the next month or day, or something. Yeah. I'm applying this by faith to my life, because by faith I believe this is the answer to everything, that I'm walking in the Spirit. Mm-hmm. So therefore I'm believing that, I'm choosing to apply it and live like that. Now the disciple that does that over time, it will take time, but the disciple does that over time will become strong in spirit, will become fruitful, and will be able to sustain his or her walk. Because they've learned, they've built things in. What about the builder of the house on the sand and the rock? The only difference between the two, because they both heard the word of God, they both came to the end of the rocks, they both came to teaching days, they all both came to faith cup and were aware of the scripture, but only one of them applied it to their life. And when the storm came, their house stood. Because they'd done the work before the storm came. That's the point. Did the work before and they were ready. But apparently, Josh, for some reason, sent me an article from JP Morgan, who are big bankers in the States, predicting another economic crash around the corner. And it's entirely possible you look at the state of the world and you look at the way no one seems to have learned about buying things on credit, which is what led to the first crash in 2008. There could well be an economic crash coming. To the world, another one. And the second one, so hot on the heels of the first one, we may not be able to recover quite as quickly. But as an example, who will survive that economy? Who will be able to walk through that calmly and in faith and able to draw upon the Lord's resources and faith for finance and whatever? Who's going to be able to do that? Those who've learned. Walk in faith in the quiet times. Those who've been faithful with their mustard seed in the times when things seem to be better. Because when the squeeze comes, what comes out then shows what's in you. When the pressure comes, you squeeze the toothpaste, what comes out? Toothpaste. When you get squeezed, what comes out? You answer that for yourself. You ought to know. And tell you what comes out of me. I'm not squeezed sometimes. But we're all squeezed, aren't we? And God is continuing with love and compassion and hope and belief for what He's called us to. Mm-hmm. Always taking every step we do make and using it, but always calling us higher. Mm-hmm. Always calling us higher to that place of greater faith. Mm-hmm. Always. Because that we never repeated. That's the thing that's important to our faith. Not how happy you feel, not how many cars you've got to drive. It's our faith.
So if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you can say to the Uprooted or the Matthew version, I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but you can also say to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea and it will be done. So the mulberry bush and look at mountain and Matthew. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. Well, let's say you ask for something and you think you're believing and you don't get it. It doesn't happen. What does that tell you? According to this passage.
You're not believing.
Exactly. So it's a good question, good thing to say to God, well, Lord, show me how this faith thing works, because clearly I haven't got it. Show me how it works. Teach me faith, Lord. And that's a great prayer to pray. Because we can't learn faith even that of our own. You know, it's all going to the Lord. Is that all he wants from us is that heart that wants him, that wants them. What's what he wants, you know? And obviously see that walk in the Spirit is the only way to go. Then we have to sustain it. We're going to need to grapple with faith in someone who is. It's not really hard faith sometimes, but that's our flesh that finds it hard. Our flesh doesn't want to spend the faith in finance or the breakthrough. Our flesh doesn't want to have to go through that. We want to sit comfy, we want to maintain something we've got and just enjoy the day. Our faith doesn't want to believe God for X thousand pounds a month for the office. I don't want to do that. Nothing in my flesh wants to do that. Nothing in my flesh wants to be for causing hunger and expenditure, finance again, and we can't have all the finance there in the place. But if my flesh starts to be better, it'll go all over the place. Mm-hmm. My spirit says, come on. God said to go. God said a little while ago, we're going to be going this season. I'm going to Rafi next Sunday, I'm going to Zambia, I'm going to DRC, I'm going to Uganda, I'm going to Germany. Teams are going out to Northampton and Slade Green and hopefully other places too. There is a lot of go. Wednesday night is going. Sharing. It's a fantastic way of saying to the Spirit, because you just say, yes, I'm going. God, you said we're going. I choose to believe that, so I'm going. Because I know that you've given me everything I need. The energy, the love, whatever I need, you've given me. And I'll be blessed if I choose to walk in that. I'm not saying that's true of everybody. You can do what God says to you. But he has said to us, this is one of the pillars. So we are blessed. I came back revived last night. My body was slightly tired. I got 6 good hours of sleep. Woke up this morning bleary eyed. Once I was up, fine. Walk rocking, cup of coffee, get before God, get the word. I'm fine. Full of life this morning. I've lost nothing by going sharing this time. And in fact, I'm full of life because I'm looking at Linda's face as she was receiving life last night. Was just joyous. And that's what I'm built for. That's what I'm designed for. He told me that recently. He told me a refreshing search. I don't have any choice. When the door opens, I have to walk through it and go and be a refreshing search. Because that's all I have got. I haven't got anything else. He hasn't given me anything else. And that was the thing about Zambia. But when it came up, Janet said, "Will you consider going?" Everything in me went, "Oh, I don't want to get on another airplane. I don't want to go to Zambia. I don't want to. Oh, you know what I want to go. Please, someone else do it." But then God said, "Look, I've told you recently, I've made you into a threshing stone. That's not for your vanity. That's not for your narcissistic pleasure. I've told you that. I've told you that because that's what I've done. You're now mine. You're my threshing stone. And this door's open. Why would you hesitate?" So praise God. I don't know how many years I've left in this life, but I'm going to use the time I've got to do what God has called me to do, to be what he's called me to be. So as soon as I saw that, yes. And we're going to have a wonderful time with Zambia. And I'm going to come back refreshed.
Yeah.
Because it's in the Spirit. I can't do anything with Zambia, but only out of the life of the Spirit within me, he will bring forth what he wants. And it will be wonderful. It will be wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, we will come back with great tales of what God did. And so you see, this is walking in the Spirit. It's walking, it's living by the Word of God. The Word of God to us, these 6 pillars. The man and woman of the Spirit will make sure they're putting, I don't mean no beer, please don't misunderstand that, flesh will misunderstand. But if we're living by faith,
And faith is we do what God. Then we give ourselves to the things we know God has said. If He's said these six pillars, then we give ourselves to these pillars. Praise God. I mean, that's how we sustain ourselves. We know that walking is walking in the Spirit. What if you know we have problems? We're still walking in the Spirit. You'll fill us and you'll do this. And you'll, you know, I mean, sometimes the hearing God thing is, we've misunderstood. You know, I know I've said to not hear different content. So look, the word of the Lord is this, do this. Thinking, yes, we now know what God's saying. All we've got to do is obey it, and that will be life. What the people receive is, oh, here's Richard, you can only read it. How the flesh takes the things of God, twists them. You see, the flesh doesn't want to obey God. Right? The flesh is the side piece of what God's saying. It wants to do what me wants. But our life depends upon hearing God. So here's me, this me, this is my evening, thinking everyone's going to be thrilled that I've heard God on this issue. Yes! No, they're not. Paul Sands. Those sort of things have all happened. But that's life. That's the life of the community of faith resting with flesh and spirit. That's it. How do we stay in step with each other with the Holy Spirit if we're not listening to God and doing what He says? That's the only way we can do it. Or we can love each other more, have more barbecues. Well, we can have barbecues, like I want something. By the way, at the moment, I've got two people coming. If anyone else wants to come, let me know. We can have barbecues, that's great. But the way we sustain our walk of faith is not by having barbecues and social events and going to the pictures together and having ice cream in Norwich. You know, I mean, great that takes place, and that's part of what it means to love you. Great. Praise God. But the way we keep in step with the Spirit and each other is to be listening keenly to what God is saying and making a choice out of faith to obey. Not just obey is a hard one, is it? It's not like that, though. To give ourselves what God says, because that's what we've said we're going to do with our lives, isn't it? Lord, we also are going to follow you. So we've got to know what He's saying to follow Him. So when you get the word of the Lord for your life, your ministry, your summer, your mission, that, then hold on to it, apply it, and take hold of it. Love the Lord your God with your heart, mind, and soul. Listen to Him and take hold fast. And that's what you need to do. Everyone needs a spiritual journal. They're writing things down. And if you've got a project coming up or a particular thing, you make sure you've got a book and you're writing down in it what God is saying. Because that is what you will hold fast to in the storm. That's faith. Faith isn't some, believe God will sort it out. And I actually don't believe that deep down, so this is a real stressful time for me. I'm not sure I do believe it. That's flesh! Of course, if you look at your flesh, if you start thinking about it, you don't necessarily believe it. Get hold of what He says and hold fast to it. And when the storm comes, because they do, when the storm comes, you just walk through it. You've already got the word of the Lord. You've already imbibed it in your spirit. You've memorized it. You've got it. You're declaring it. You're prophesying it. You're getting people around you to do it together. This is spiritual leadership. Different from ordinary leadership. This is how a husband leads his wife. His family. This is how a pastor leads his church. This is how a mission leader will lead a mission. What has God said? And how am I applying my faith to what He said? It's simply choosing to believe what God has said. So when we're tempted without much of our faith, well, forget that. You place both. Just get hold of what He said and look at that. Fill your head with that. Just put a when the horse has a blinker. Put a blinker up on your tongue. Don't pay it any attention. And I come to you and say, no, I'm not sure what you're doing. Well, of course you don't. Your flesh doesn't believe that. So my question is, are you walking in the Spirit? That's the first thing. You know, are you believing God? What He said to you? Are you living by what He says? Don't go and try and do something. Because your own strength, you do it. Your own strength. When the Son of Man comes, we find faith. You have to learn to walk in faith. So don't get all condemned about where you are, but just say, thank you, God, I've got a measure of faith, and now what? I'm going to learn faith, I'll apply faith, Holy Spirit, teach me. And if you need to cry out to him like we talked about yesterday, that was a powerful time yesterday. Was that what you really 24 hours ago? Listen, crying out. Don't say, oh, God, you're faithful. Say, thank you for the faith you've given me. Lord, show me how to be a good steward of what I know you have already given me, because the word says you have. Don't forget what you feel like. Thank you. I'm a man and woman of faith. You want to make me into that. You're with me. Your grace is on my life to do that. Teach me, Lord, to walk in faith. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want my life to be a sustained, constant walk in the Spirit. Fed up and going up and down, I'm going to walk constantly. I'm going to choose to hold on, to hold fast to what you say to me. I'm going to listen intently to what the leadership say about our community of faith, because that will give me a clue as to what season we're in and how I can flow with everybody else and stay in step with them. And if I get a chance to bring a word, I can bring a word in line with that. I can use what God's saying to leadership to be praying for the whole community. I can learn to see where we are in the Spirit, not in the flesh. You know, if you pray in the flesh, all you do is pray the same old boring prayers all the time. Oh Lord, strength and conviction. Oh Lord, make us united. Oh Lord, thank you Lord for your provision. And it just gets a bit boring because you pray the same old things all the time. I mean, there are times to pray those things. So pray for God, for mercy, pray for me. Thank you, I really appreciate it. But the prayers, the kind of prayers that come from the Spirit. So it'll be spiritual people. So what's God saying? What season are we in? As a ministry, what season are we in? What's God been saying? What's he doing? What's my part in this? What's my intercessory role in this? See breakthrough. Pour out from here to see breakthrough. You know, you get breakthrough just by interceding. Just by crying out to God from your guts. Yes, God, breakthrough. Seeking God. See the breakthrough in the prayer. In your prayer closet. Don't try and get breakthrough on your flesh. It will count for nothing. And I believe that's what God's making us into, spiritual people. Who will walk in step with each other and with the Holy Spirit. With your trainings, teachings. And we've got some scripture coming into it. So, if we are to be spiritually minded, not carnally minded, we can remind ourselves of what. Don't have to turn to the verse, but the Romans say, you know, those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according to the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. Well, what does the Spirit desire? He desires what the Father desires, what the Son desires. He desires that we become a people who walk with him. He desires that we become really faith-filled people. I mean, real faith. Faith is being through the testing. Faith produces the goods. Don't follow someone who talks faith. Follow someone who lives faith. If you follow someone who talks faith, you'll catch the ability to talk faith. If you follow someone who lives faith, you'll catch living faith. That's what we're called to do. Live faith. We're not teaching ministry. We're not called to teach faith. We're called to live faith. We're not called to teach the kingdom. We're called to live the kingdom. You can't teach faith if you haven't lived faith. And what the people need is faith. I mean, fine, all of us stuff to teach, but they need faith. You need to understand how faith works. You need to understand how it works in your life. You need to understand how it works in the ministry. Because only faith is going to bring revival and change the world. We can fill our life with ministry and say, oh, God, I've been doing ministry for X years. But he'll say, well, where's the fruit? But the Lord is ministry. Yeah, well, I know it's what we call ministry, but where's the fruit, we say? Where's the fruit in ministry? What if you left on planet Earth? And you go to the Lord and let us know what we've got. What have you left? What's your next thing? Where's the truth? Where's the truth?
It is to the Father's glory we bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit will last. He doesn't call us to ministry. He doesn't call us to be slaves. He calls us to be sons. He calls us to walk in the Spirit, to follow the Spirit. Yeah, and when we do that, we know we're remaining in Him, and we know we will bear fruit. And that's faith. That's faith. I know that if you know that to be true, that's what you declare, that's what you live. You fight to stay remaining in Him. You do whatever you need to do to remain in Him. And that means you have to follow Him, which means you have to hear what He says. You can't just drift around in this child and bear fruit. You can't do it. Well, you can, but you won't bear fruit. Listen, when I get to heaven one day, I want to see you guys put in charge of kingdoms. Not heaven, when Jesus comes to earth and gives us kingdoms to look after. You know, cities. You'll be the king of kings, and we'll be the kings. I want to see you guys ruling over cities. As your reward for what you've done in this life. Because you've learned faith. You've learned to walk in the Spirit. You've learned to trust God. There is really is only one you do. It is by might, not by might, but by power, by my Spirit, says Lord. But that does not mean you sit back and do nothing. That means you fight to get into a place of faith and stay there. And that's the fight that we have. What's the work of God? To believe. It's a fight of faith. You have to fight to get to that. You can drift along under everyone else's wings if you want. Here, you can go and tuck under my wings and drift along. But when I'm not here one day, or you've gone somewhere, what's going to happen then? Best thing you can do is have your own fight of faith day by day. Fight of faith. Get in there. Get your hands dirty. Start believing. Find out what it means for you. What does that mean? Well, start with what's the price of your hope. What charge have you got today? How are you going to apply faith? How are you going to walk in the Spirit? How are you going to pray? Pray for the flesh and the soul. Oh, make us all happy. So we pray for the Spirit. Spirit.
Actually, I've known you roar for a while. I mean, there are hints of it occasionally. I remember that roar at FPH. That was a roar. That was a roar from the Spirit of God. That was a roar. Do you remember? You roared. You roared. And it came from what God was doing in your life. It came out of a rawness of your business. Let's hear everyone roaring. Come on. Roar. Be who you are. Be that lion that's called you to be in the Spirit. Who are you in the Spirit? Be that. Be that. Be who you are. You can learn. You can get under the wing and learn here because it's the same place. Mm-hmm. One day you'll be out there and learn. Mm-hmm. One day you won't have anyone else around you, maybe. And you know, there'll be a crisis and then you'll have to find that roar. You know, the roar of faith. So the first thing to me, what's faith to me? Faith to me is getting God's pattern and sticking to it. And a lot of the stuff I say to you guys and other people and the team around the country is sticking to the pattern. It's calling you to life with the pattern God's given us. That's all. I'm not demanding things of you that are outside the pattern that God's given us. I don't believe I am anyway. But there is a pattern. There is a yoke. The yoke's easy in life, but there is a yoke. Give me your yoke, I'll give you mine. Well, there is a yoke. So we do have a yoke. That yoke is easy in life. As long as the right heart falls in, just keep in step with it, it's easy in life. But that's the pattern. So I call us into life to the pattern that God has spoken to us. And it wasn't just something that, you know, moments sort of, oh, this is what we'll do. We went, the neighbours went, had a day, prayed, seeking God, we got it. It was agreed in the leadership. That's the pattern. So that's our pattern. How do I express my faith? I believe that's the pattern God's given, and I give myself to it. Personally. I mean, I can't be kind with you. But I give myself to it. I say, yes, I'll get up, see, get a word for the equipment. I'm going to show you. I'll do this. I don't care if I'll do this, do that. I'll give it to it. I don't have to debate it. I'll do it. Because that's the pattern. Now there are other things going to be on top of the plan. Things you're going to do in different seasons, which are going to be lead to more fruitfulness. And that's all waiting for those. He says, pray and fast for a week. Remember that for a while. Maybe not a couple soon. But you know, if he says that, then we do that. Then we give ourselves to that. But day by day, we give ourselves to what he's given us, to his work. We love the Lord our God, the Lord our mind, the Lord our body. We don't put ourselves on the plinth, we put other people on the plinth, we put God on the plinth. We worship him. We listen to him. Whether it's directly or through the leadership or whoever it is, or through each other, when we encourage each other in the mornings, or whatever way, test it, of course, but listen to him and then hold fast what he says. Because he'll do the rest. He fills it with his glory. We can't do that. I can't produce life and cherry, but I can obey and go there. I'll open the mouth. That's all that happens. It's his pattern that he fills with his glory. Yeah, we're having some glorious times in our own stories. We have some wonderful times of word flowing and being sustained and stimulated and challenged and full of life. And we go, even if we are challenged to the core by it. But, you know, but it's life! It's life! I chose life and it's life, Lord. Thank you. Even when it's challenging, I'm alive! I am alive in here! I haven't always been, there's been phases when I haven't been alive, and I know looking around at the world, many, 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 many people are not alive in here. They're going through the motions. Even if they've got great careers and pension schemes and blah, blah, they're going through the motions. What God promises is keep in step with me and you have another life. Okay, you might have a life. Life is fullness. It may not be comfortable life all the time, but it is life. You're alive! Don't go to sleep. Don't die inside. Get hold of what God's saying and choose to believe it. Step out. That'll wake you up. Go get a new thing, he's saying. Don't keep banging over the old one all over again. Go find something new, he's saying. Go find a fresh thing. Don't listen to what you say. Carry on this, be fair with it. But get the fresh thing he's saying. Do it. Step out. Now the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth, etc. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So if you feel weak in all this, that's great, because that's only your flesh telling you weak, and you are weak. That's the point. We're meant to be weak. Just say, I'm weak.
I am weak.
You're meant to be. In your weakness, His strength is made perfect. As you acknowledge your weakness, don't stare at your flesh. Turn your eyes to the Lord, and the strength comes. The life comes, the vibrancy, the vitality, or everything that's connected with the fullness of life comes as we look to the Lord. Mm-hmm. As we live our life by what He says. That's mm-hmm. what it means to be a disciple. Many claim to be a disciple of Jesus. Well, I mean, He knows whether they are or not, but mm-hmm. maybe some follow from afar. But this is what we teach, this is what we stand for, what we teach, what we take to Africa, etc., other places. And this is what He's going to, the Holy Spirit's going to continually be reminding us of and leading us into. Can I encourage you to get hold of the certificate course material, which contains the essence of this stuff? This is what you should go and teach, really. If they ask you to teach a spiritual authority, you've got to. But when you go out and teach your days, get hold of this material. Don't just give cursory glance at it, get hold of it. Eat it. Start looking at it 3 weeks before you go. Get it into you. Internalize it. If it's Josiah, then Josiah. If it's walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit. If it's Abraham, whatever it is, you get the freshening every time. Teacher of righteousness brings to the Spirit, come with a new thing as well as a. Get the new thing that's new to you. Get the things living in the Spirit so that you can stand there and look at them in the eye and declare the truth of life. Because that's what we released. Released. The thing is through the counsel of God and heard. That will be released. That's the only thing the counsel is teaching. To stand at the counsel first and then release it. And he'll do what he wants to do. And you'll just come away and say, well, thank you, God, you did. Now leave it to you. Whatever you want to do here. I'm not responsible to do that, but it's responsible for delivering it.
Praise God. Take a moment
to reflect, not on your flesh, but on the Lord. You know, there's a secret of everything. Just, I know it's basic, but it's like, you know, back to basics. Don't look at yourself. Look at the Lord. Get yourself in trouble. Stop looking at yourself. Look at the Lord. Don't get on an hour's prayer time and pray for other people like yourself. Fast and pray for yourself for a month. How about that? Fast and selfish prayer for a month. That'll stop getting your eyes looking elsewhere. Whenever your eyes get back at yourself, look at the Lord again. Try to intercessory prayer. Get on your hands and knees on your knees and cry out for him. It's great. So the Lord. Because the answer is always there. It may not be a quick answer, may not be the answer you want, but the answer will be there. Father, thank you that you made it possible for us to live the life of walking in the Spirit. Thank you, Father, now that there's no condemnation for those in Christ who refuse to get condemned in any way, shape, or form. We just simply say thank you and yes to what you're saying this morning. Thank you, you've given us that faith, and Lord, we're going to choose to put it to work. And okay, it might not happen seamlessly or perfectly in our lives straight away, but Lord, we're going to become those people who sustain our walk with faith over many years. And if like Samuel uses for 25 years, 35, 45, 55 years preaching the gospel wherever he sent us, then that's what we'll do. We'll do it as sons, free and alive. Thank you for the grace upon our lives in this season to walk in the Spirit, particularly and focus on it. And Lord, that means looking at you as our sons. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace to turn our eyes away from ourselves and put them onto you. And certainly not to be looking at other people, because that's the worst. That's a haughtiness. Pridefulness. So we look at you. We choose to look at you. Our eyes on you right now. We say, thank you, Jesus. You worth the Spirit of your life. Thank you, love us and care for us and call us all. Yeah. In your love and compassion, you call us all into the life of faith. Yeah. Thank you, never get information from us. You never give up on us. Thank you, Lord. You're always kind and looking towards for our best purposes. Thank you, Lord, we can trust your fathering in our life, which is why we can abandon ourselves and look to you. That's the expression of our faith, isn't it, to do that? Thank you, Lord, that our faith finds expression, and thank you that you'll teach us increasingly how to walk that walk, so that we can reproduce ourselves. Thank you, Lord, you're going to bring people across our path into whom we can reproduce what you've shown us. What we've got from you, we can pour out to others. Thank you, Lord. Your intention is that as we remain in you, we're going to be bearing much fruit. Much fruit. And good fruit. Good for the last.